everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I was thinking of not doing a show tonight because I was like, there's not much happening. But all of a sudden in the afternoon, the jury announced that they had a verdict in the case of Trump. And we learned that Trump has been found guilty of falsification of business records in 34 counts of felony. Now, the theories by which these were elevated to felonies is, well, it was a crime. It meant to violate another law. Well, the crime was that Trump signed the check to Michael Cohen, giving him money. But this money was meant to reimburse him for something else, and it wasn't written on the check. And it wasn't written in the pages of the notebook of Trump. And so this whole paranoid conception is required to even approach a conviction here, even approach the idea that there could have been a crime. We're talking about a check. Does one need to state all of the reasons for a check being given? Like, do you write the whole ensemble of causes that could have led you to make a business transaction with someone else? No, you don't. Do you have to have a notebook that states every reason why ultimately you give money to someone? Trump may have had a conception, in my view, that he owed something to Cohen, because let's suppose that the theory is true, that the theory of the prosecution is true. Trump was meaning to reimburse Cohen because he owed something to Cohen, because Cohen had paid X amount of money to some prostitute so that she would shut up. Okay, suppose that that is true. Does one need to keep a notebook that details the ensemble of all intents of a payment? There is such a thing in the business as, oh, you know what? I'm going to pay you a little more this time, but that's because I think I still owe you for that other time. There is such a thing, and it's a regular thing, and it's happening every day. Right now, today, felonies were committed across all businesses in New York. Felonies were committed as people didn't fully... Sorry, I needed to sneeze. Felonies were committed as people didn't fully document the entirety of the debt conception that they have. Oh, he's a good guy. I'm going to give him $10,000 this time. Oh, he's been kind with me last time. I'm going to give him $11,000. This is basically the basis on which Trump is claimed to have falsified a business record. Now, the whole paranoid theory must be, not only did he falsify in the sense that he didn't write, he didn't document that these checks were also because, oh yeah, maybe he owed something to Michael Cohen for a past payment. But you have to have the whole conception for criminality, the mens rea, that Trump would not only not have noted why he was truly making this payment, but that he was doing so with the intent of circumventing a law not even of the state of New York, a federal law, which is under federal jurisdiction. And so we have here a first attempt at these state laws that say you cannot do something while you do something else. This is not a crime. But it's a crime if you do it as part of an unlawful activity. And then you have the problem of the fractal of guilt. It's like, oh yeah, this is not a crime in most situations, but this is not a crime in most situations, but this is not a crime in most situations, but. And you shake this, and eventually you can get a moment in someone's life where there was no criminal intent, where the person was actively thinking, I'm respecting all laws, but taken together, shaken together, we have a transfer of jurisdiction of the federal election law, because federal election law must be pursued by federal officials in federal court. And now suddenly you have New York capable of suing for this law that they don't control, that they don't have the right at all to adjudicate on, but by saying, oh, well, this was the unlawful mean. The unlawful thing that Trump was doing with his non-noting, with his non-description on his check. By the way, did you ever see the check memo? Did you ever write a check? The check memo line is that long. It's actually hard to falsify anything with a check, because what are you going to write on this line? One, two, three words? So the fact that Trump didn't write on these checks that it was for a hush money payment with the intent of violating some other law that we have no jurisdiction upon makes it a non-lawful thing, and therefore, coming back to New York, you can't do unlawful things in New York as part of business. That's a felony. We have here the most twisted way ever found to fuck up a jurisdictional limit, to try to really fuck a jurisdictional limit in the ass. And the leftists, they hate this jurisdictional limit because they understand very much that all that the leftists do in life is like impede, it's parasitized, it's taking you down. And they know very well that no matter how arbitrary they get in New York, how arbitrary they get in California, really all they can do is self-destroy. The leftists know this very much. And today I'm thinking so much about Gangs of New York because I think that Gangs of New York was a warning to America in a way. Maybe it was unintentional, but certainly Bill the Butcher, the character in this movie, is very much warning us about what will happen with New York. And when you think about what the movie shows an old generation of Americans who have deserved their rights, earned their rights through fighting. Now, you can be against fighting, you can be anti-war, but, you know, factually, they ended up with this country because they risked their life, and many of them died. And this is what Bill the Butcher explains. Why are these people coming onto a boat into New York? And my father died to save this country. These people are unable to continue the work of my father here. I, as a warrior, I, as a violent thug of the Gangs of New York, I am better than these guys on the boat. And I think that what we live in today, if you want to see Gangs of New York as a warning, we live in the nightmare of Bill the Butcher. We live in the world that he warned us against when this segment of the movie starts.
That's the building of our country right there, Mr. Cutting. Americans are burning.
I don't see no Americans. I see trespassers. Irish harps will do a job for and a white man used to get a quarter for. What have they done? Name one thing they've contributed. Votes. Votes, you say? They vote how the Archbishop tells them, and who tells the Archbishop? They're king in the point.
I see so many segments in the movie that are relevant to today. First, the idea that if you keep importing a non-meritocratic class, eventually there is a clash between the people who occupy your nation and their vote and the values of the founding stock of the nation that have earned their chance to live out of a competing process. Now, whether that competitive process was war, killing other people rather than being killed, whether it was capitalism through just success in business, there was a meritocratic process. You invite in so many people that eventually your votes, and we know that this place where Trump was prosecuted was a county in which he had 5 or 6% support. So we're talking about an extremist pro-Biden location. Just this is extremely unfair. But see, he says they won't vote. Their vote is worth nothing. Their vote, they will just vote like their Pope tells them to. Of course, Bill de Butcher sees it as an invasion of Catholics. But today we can see the invasion as having been much more extended beyond the Catholics. It is an invasion of non-meritocratic forces, people who get positions in the system, like Judge Merchant, and who know how to manipulate the system to elevate themselves in a process that is deeply not related to free markets, that is deeply not deserved to the people who win it. And so we end up having a bunch of parasites, really, going after a successful man from this area. Now, Trump, does he owe his success to himself? I'm not even sure. I think that Trump is what he is, mostly because of his father. But still, you still have a meritocratic conception when you talk of, well, my father had my genes and he was good. Therefore, I legitimately benefit from his money. Bill de Butcher does the same. Bill de Butcher had his father fight as part of the war against the British, and he died for the liberation of America. And so as an heir to the genes of his father, he is still deserving his position there. And he's saying these votes that are coming in, they're going to turn against you at the order of the Pope, which is just another king.
Pointy hat, what sits on his throne in Rome.
Bill's got mixed feelings as regards the Irish.
Bill.
Bill's got mixed feelings as regard to the Irish.
Deliver these good and fervent folk to the polls on a regular basis, and there'll be a handsome price for each vote goes Tammany's way.
See the complete cynical destruction of democracy. And it's funny that the leftists are so much about, oh yeah, we're saving democracy. That's what we're doing. That's why we have to sue Trump. It's to save democracy. But here, they have voted for their guy. They have changed the laws progressively in New York to get more into Trump. They have basically written special laws so that Trump could be sued in many cases, like the E. Jean Carroll case. And Bill de Butcher doesn't take this bullshit. Even if there is a local gain to be made, it's like, hey, we're going to give you money if you can bring these immigrants to the voting station.
My father gave his life making this country what it is. Murdered by the British with all of his men on the 25th of July, Anno Domini 1814. You think I'm going to help you befoul his legacy? By giving this country over to them what's had no hand in the fighting for it? Why, because they come off a boat crawling with lice and begging you for soup?
You're a great one for the fighting, Bill, I know. But you can't fight forever.
I can go down doing it.
And you will.
What did you say?
I said you're turning your back on the future.
Not our future.
Not our future, but Bill the Butcher in the end loses and in the end recognizes America is falling. And he does it in two sentences in this monologue, which I think is easy to forget. But I think these two sentences are very much linked together.
He was the only man I ever killed worth remembering. I never had a son. Civilization is crumbling.
I never had a son. Civilization is crumbling. I think this is very important because I think what is meant to be explained here is that civilization is crumbling because you never had a son. Because there were more people on the boat than the number of sons you had. Because you asked this prostitute to abort herself. You insisted that she be aborted. So ultimately, civilization is crumbling because you can't make as many babies as the people coming from boats in New York. And this leads to an absolutely disordered New York based in violence, gang wars. And I think it's the New York we see today. Just a gang war. The business gang of Trump being targeted by the state gang of these state prosecutors and judges and juries. It's all bullshit. It's the kind of bullshit you expect in Chicago, sure. But now we will have to expect it in New York, and we'll have to expect it pretty much anywhere the Democrats control enough. Trump is describing what has happened today as a ridiculous attack, a unjust process. Let's listen to what he had to say coming out of the courtroom.
Mr. Trump, are you going to save the American people?
Mr. Trump, I don't know if you're going to be convicted of violence.
Are you worried about going to jail?
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting, we'll fight till the end, and we'll win. Because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists. And they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one. With a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
All right. Saturn Shines asks, what are they going to do? Fire him, fine him excessively, or put him in jail? I'm almost certain that he will be put in jail. We are talking about a sentencing hearing. On July 11th. So what's probably going to happen is arguments will be made on July 11th. I wouldn't expect him to be taken for imprisonment immediately. I believe that what you will have is July 11th. You will have the arguments being made. And then the judge will say, either I'm putting you in jail right now. He could do this. It could be on July 11th. But what you can have in this case is the judge could say, I'm going to take the issue aside. I'm going to think about it for 3 weeks. And then I will ask that in 3 weeks from now, you all come back here and we will make the final announcement. So around August, you could have Trump taken to jail or on July 11th. In any case, I believe that there is much grounds for appeal. The theory of the prosecution on this has been so stretched. I mean, they explained it on MSNBC and I was laughing my ass off. They were like, let's debunk the alt-righters who are saying that anything goes. No, no, no. And they had to explain that it's a three-hook combination crime. They had to explain that, you know, falsifying a business record is a misdemeanor. And even falsifying it as part of even like violating the federal election law is a misdemeanor. And anyways, it's not pursuable by the local jurisdiction. It's the federal court. So they had to take this other statute that says you can't do a lie in New York in your business record as part of an other unlawful action. And unlawful here has been apparently chosen specifically to be very unspecific as to, well, are we talking about a crime that has just happened in New York? Are we talking about the violation of a civil rule? Are we talking, I mean, to a certain extent, an unlawful thing can include a speeding ticket. It's unlawful to speed at 60 in a zone of 50. So unlawful being so unspecific here allowed the prosecution to extend, well, okay, the lie on the check was to detour federal law and therefore constitutes a crime in New York because unlawful lies in business are a felony in New York. It's as stretch as it gets. You also have all of the problems of Judge Merchant, the refusing of a change of venue in a highly partisan county where all of this is obviously tied to elections, and yet you have these people trying to argue somehow that it's not, and oh no, it's just we're just having a regular deployment of the law here. Why don't you sue the 7 other million businessmen in New York today who all wrote checks, all of which were kind of memo form? They didn't explain everything, and perhaps behind the intent of one check, they couldn't, in 3 words, find a full way to describe why they are writing that check. So there's much place for appeals, but I think here the goal is just to push down on Trump to make his life hard, and this is what this judge will pursue, which is why it would be entirely possible that on July 11th, he gets Trump to jail, because his goal is not so much to survive an appeal, but his goal is to make damage to the election. Ty Odyssey says, if every aspect of reality is simultaneously bent temporarily, then utopia indeed can exist. A quote of leftist. Okay. Hermit Ham has sent $20. The ghost of every white nationalist unjustly sentenced under your administration cries out in vengeance. Burn in karma, Trump pig. The precedent was sent long ago. I do not care. Ah, that's a decent position, because Trump has presided over injustice. Trump has presided toward the pursuit of opposition. Trump has not pardoned Assange. Trump has not. So he has sided with the machine in so many ways that, and you know, we never heard Trump trying to fix something like family courts where men are systematically having their rights abused. And I kind of join you on this, not to the point where I say I'm not going to support Trump in 2024, but to the point of saying, hey, did this guy drain the swamp enough for me to care here that he's now getting swallowed by the swamp? And I kind of agree there. I think he didn't. I think he gets a little bit of what he deserves, which is he didn't clean up the government. He didn't fight the deep state. And those were his campaign promises, and he didn't do it. Now, fighting the deep state at the federal level wouldn't have fixed the fact that there are gangs of New York. There are gangs of New York who could still go after him. But the very fact that these gangs exist is an expression of the too deep power that the state has everywhere. And if at least he could have weakened the leg of the deep state at the federal level, perhaps I'd be more sympathetic, yes, about the injustice. Because as long as you have these people who basically, Trump surfed on the right-wing dissident vote in 2016. And then he abandoned us in many ways. He abandoned us in so many ways. He sided with his generals and his deep state and his Israel. And yes, James Field. James Field is, rotting in jail forever in a case where perhaps some doubt, perhaps some pardoning could have happened. So, Hermit M, and Hermit M says, oh, I just reconvinced him to be a moderate because of my pragmatic argument that, we're still going to support Trump. And I don't think that supporting Biden is the solution here. But you're right. He didn't do enough. And the machine is now the corrupt machine that he didn't undermine. Like, if you were to be a president of the U.S., there are a million ways at which you can undermine the power of these arbitrary state apparatus of justice. You could descend onto these courtrooms with a strong Supreme Court and just say, no, we won't let you systematically violate the rights of Americans. At this point, these local courts, these state courts, are in violation of the Constitution because they constantly ignore it. And you can cut funding, you can cut state funding for all the Democrat states. He could have done so much more. And some people are discussing on Twitter in response to this finding that perhaps it's time to learn here, learn from how the Democrats do. Trump didn't sue Hillary. Trump didn't prosecute Hillary, although he said he would. If I'd be a president, you'd be in jail. Didn't happen. Now, the Democrats, they don't hesitate. They prosecuted the January 6 people. There are people currently rotting in jail because they took a walk in the Capitol. I mean, let's be creative here. Let's lock people up. I mean, if this is going to be a war, if this is going to be a legal war, let's do the legal war. Because as long as we're there following ideals and our enemies are putting us in jail, we're losing people. We're losing numbers. We had a super chat by Tarmo on Entropy. Thank you so much, you guys, for supporting the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Tarmo says, going by evolution, the harder they push their anti-natalist leftist agenda, the stronger the selection will be for conservative, autistic, disobedient people in the next generation. Humanity might converge to be extremely right-wing. The non-conforming autists will win. White pilled. Yes, absolutely. That's why the fight of the anti-natalist left is an absolute... It's a ridiculous pursuit. Ridiculous pursuit. It's self-punishing. And even what's happening in New York right now is self-punishing. Let me tell you, there's a bunch of mob bosses right now and big business people of New York that are starting to feel scared because they're like, is the system going to drop me under the bus in that way? Because, as long as you have success, you have growth, you have more money, you pay taxes, everyone is smiling, everything is okay. But is the system going to go after me? Are they going to snap at me the way they snapped at Trump? And you have to be scared if you're a business right now in New York. I mean, I can't understand in 2024 why you'd be a business in New York. I would be gone since 20 years ago. I really can't understand how Trump, I mean, he did move to Florida, so that was probably a move in the, but he moved late and he didn't move his assets and he didn't sell his assets. he gave his assets to his son, but that's not going to help. Your son will be as pursued as you are in New York. So yes, the left is always self-destructive. Always self-destructive. That's all they know. And that's why they are so interested at having laws that they can invent at the state level on demand. Like they invented the whole statutory limit so that E. Jean Carroll could sue Trump. They want to invent rules that they can retroactively catch people. And what they really like is if we can take over the federal jurisdiction because we're scared that the federals aren't as leftist as us, because any federal organization is going to be filled by a diverse set of people from the country. Whereas if we can do a local case based on the violation of a federal law, which is totally illegal, by the way, it's absolute clown show of justice. But they love that they developed this trick and they're celebrating it on their media. Trump guilty on all 34 felony charges. There's a meme going around. It's been going around for many months, so I didn't pull it because it's not new, but I love it. It's the gay soy boy who's like, "Hey, darling, call your boy." "Darling, call your boyfriend now. They got Trump." The guy has a wife and she has a boyfriend, and the three are celebrating the capture of Trump. Oh my god. So yes. So that's the whole idea. 34 charges, because there was one charge for one check, one charge for the second check, one charge for the third check, one charge for the notebook that documents what the check says. So, but it's all the idea that money was given to Michael Cohen, and really there was no description that this was for ultimately for a hush payment to Stormy Daniel, to some prostitute. I don't even know which one it is. Yeah, Stormy Daniels in 2016 in exchange for her silence. Hermit M says, "Got to go. I love you all. Take care, JF." All right, bye-bye, Hermit. Stormy Daniels, yeah. So there's not much more to say. And normally I go on with the rest of the news. I'm looking at the other news, though. It's nothing important compared to what happened today with the American justice system. So I might convert it to a short show, just finishing my delivery of thoughts about this. Well, going forward, what does it mean? Well, Trump has announced that he will have a press conference tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at the Trump Tower Atrium. MAGA 2024. So Trump still doing things in New York. Trump is going to appeal, but the justice system will, at the local level before the appeal, will try to work hard to create damage that can at least continue through the appeal, because an appeal is long. Now, Trump might ask for an emergency basis, but there's a big question about whether an emergency basis will be granted just because he's a candidate for presidency. It's a hard question, let me tell you, because you have the 14th Amendment and everyone should be treated equally by the law. But then, yes, a president should be punished just as much as anyone else. But then you have the whole consideration that an official position of American politics cannot be interfered with by by lengths of appeal. It's like we can't pause the country because of an appeal. We can't pause the, and it would be, perhaps there will be an argument that there is a benefit to the public that the appeal be dealt with on emergency mode so that the country can move forward with an election. John Drake says, this could happen to anyone. Best to never enter these areas. Are you sure you want to go to San Francisco, JF? Well, as I said, you know, I hope that Elon considers moving XAI to Texas. But, you know, I'm able to stay out of trouble even in leftist areas. If I can have a wife on who I can count, that is all I need. Now, my problem in leftist areas is that the women are becoming insane. The women are more insane in leftist area than the judges. The women are just, they're just on a quest to fuck up men, like really. And they're more partisan to their androgyny than Judge Merchant is against Trump. So if you can trust the people around you that they don't lie, that they don't do false allegations, there's really nothing that can happen because I'm under camera at all time. I have camera internally and externally on any place I live. I have records of everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I say. Under these conditions, you can survive in San Francisco. Big Tech Exodus says, what is this about? Is JF moving to California? But it's about the fact that I applied to Musk's offer to because he's looking for people to get involved in the XAI because he raised $6 billion or something like this. And now there's $6 billion that's just waiting to pour on intelligent people. And I saw the job offer and I was like, hey, this is my life. This is something I can do for sure. This is something in which I could change the world. And it seems to me that if Elon doesn't employ me, he will regret in 10 years from now. And I don't mean regret like in a super bitter way. I just think that there's something I want to do with AI that will not be done by anyone else. So it's just, yeah, you can have other people advance AI. It's going to advance in that direction. I know where it's going to be. It's going to be a product that will have some use. And yeah, but if you're serious about, if you want to make this AI, if you want to give human cognition to this AI, I think I'm the guy. I'm sorry, Elon. I'm sorry about the hit pieces about me in the press, but it doesn't it make it all more funny? Like, isn't it more hilarious that you would hire me with all this past, all this baggage? I think it's better. I think it's funnier. I think it's a stronger message. I think we would build something that people would be laughing their ass off at how much we own the Sam Altman. Like in 1,000 years from now, people will remember, holy shit, the anti-Sam Altman has arisen. He rose and he made an AI that totally destroyed OpenAI. That would be fun. That would be fun. And all the articles about me in Newsweek and all the murderer stuff and the fucking wine aunts speculating about me, that would give higher value to everything we do. Higher value, higher risk, higher excitement. It would all be funnier. Raised Fist says, JF, it's not like Elon would give you carte blanche. I don't expect carte blanche. This is one place where I'm really willing to be an employee. First, because there is a culture of liberty there and horizontality. But secondly, because I'm not just stubbornly pursuing my little beef project into some AI making. Like, it's not, I'm not going there to satisfy myself. I believe that I am the best tool for Elon to accomplish what he wants to do. I just believe that I have the little secret that he needs. Now, I'm not going to start laying out these secrets and, you know, but I think that you guys who have listened to me for many years, I think you guys can know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the moral signal. I'm talking about everything you guys have seen me analyze human cognition for so many years. This is what AI needs. You know, I was thinking about rabbits today. Let me pull an image. Rabbits. This is exactly what I was thinking about. This rabbit. This rabbit is cute. Don't you agree? Can you guys, on the regular chat, type one if you see Saturn Shine says, ah. See, the woman in the audience is having a higher reaction to cuteness. If this rabbit is cute, type one. If this rabbit is not cute, type two. I believe this rabbit is cute. Now, so there is general agreement in the human population, this rabbit is cute. Now, I made streams about this like 5 years ago. What is the informational structure of cuteness? Now, that's a tougher one. What is the informational structure of cuteness? Is cuteness derivable from the JPEG itself? Is it the fact that it's an animal being represented? Not all animals are cute. In fact, I could have the very same rabbit that's going at you like, argh! And it wouldn't be cute. So it's not the rabbit itself. Saturn Shine says, baby type neoteny face. Yeah, certainly. Certainly there is no intent of aggression. But what? Why are babies even cute? Because you can say, oh, well, it's cute because it's like a baby. But okay, why are babies cute? What's the informational structure of cuteness? My point being, you know when an AI will have reached satisfying degrees? It's not only when an AI can agree with us that the rabbit is cute. That's easy. The AI is just copying us. The AI has done exactly what I've done, which is the AI has looked into the regular chat. He's seen, well, humans do find this thing cute. It's a rabbit. It has features 1 to 100,000. Here's the list of features. When you detect this into an image, it's cute. Now, do you think that rabbits find each other cute? So we're starting to draw the informational structure of cuteness here. Naivete. Absence of evil intent. Petiteness. To find something cute, ultimately it has to be younger, smaller, cute. It has to be behind you in life. Ultimately, something is cute because you're older than it. Something is cute. And then what's your response to all of these features? Helplessness, says Big Tech Exodus. I need you guys on my team. Elon, cut 100,000 from my salary. I want Big Tech Exodus. I want new guy. I want all of you on the regular chat on my ex-AI team. Because yes, precocious, vulnerability, helplessness, So why would you have a signal in your head for helplessness? But of course, it's because we had to care for babies. Ultimately, the dimension of cuteness is the dimension of I need the delivery of a service to this thing because it's behind me in life, because it's a product of my genes. Now, our cuteness happens to be so broad that eventually we find other people's children cute, but they might also need help, and we might derive profit from being a teacher to them. And the animals were kind of giving them a surplus of cuteness because we have a surplus of care to give. So cuteness ultimately is the state of needing care, teaching, help. It's the state of not having reached yet a teachable moment. You're cute because you don't know. And you're cute because you need to know. I say all of this because AI is not even there. Like, we've been talking about cuteness for about 10 minutes. AI is not even here. AI is still at the, well, everyone says it's cute, it's cute. Now, we've moved beyond. We have a psychosocial understanding of cuteness. We have the beginning of a computer program to identify cuteness in new areas. And the ultimate challenge to me is I don't just want AI to find this rabbit cute. I don't just want AI to even find new things that we didn't know were cute, but we're like, oh yeah, you know what? I agree, AI. You know, think about this. There will be one day where an AI finds something cute that you would have never realized it was cute, but the AI suggested to you and you're like, oh yeah, oh, okay. Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Now we're starting to play. Now we're starting to play because we have creativity. We have innovation. We have, hey, I can make you realize something about cuteness that you would have never realized without me. And now you're attached to the AI. Now it's, you respect it. Now you're like, holy shit. This particular circle with this particular triangle placed in this particular way is fucking cute, and I have no idea why. And yet the AI told me it would be. Now you have predictive power. Now you have AI starting to explore in mathematical domains, things that the human brain couldn't have approached. But ultimately, I'm even more megalomaniacal than this. Ultimately, one day I want to see a Docker container. So a Docker container is just a bunch of executable running in a loop. It's the AI. It's a program living its life cycle in a contained way onto a CPU. One day, a Docker container has to find another Docker container cute. And once you're there with comedy, once you're there with humor, once you're there with cuteness, once you're there with betrayal, once you're there with loyalty, once you're there with endearing, all of these human words, all of them have a computational structure. And all of them should be felt by one Docker container to another Docker container. That day, your AI is going to look fucking human. That's my message to Elon Musk. Let's do it. Now, you say, Jeff, Elon Musk won't give you carte blanche. I'm not asking for carte blanche. I'm asking you to acknowledge, Elon, that what I just described there is what you want. It's your dream. I can make it happen. Big Tech Exodus says, JF, a good way of studying this is minimum viable cuteness. Look at cute, minimalistic, drawn faces. Yeah, there is an approach. This was a science. I think there is a science approach where they're trying to do this. I don't know if they did it with cuteness, but they're trying, like, what is the at as Jason Scott has once asked in his legacy conference, that was one of the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. As Jason Scott once asked, what is the atom of porn? Just how can I reduce porn until you barely see the tit, you barely see the boob, but you're like, ah, there's a boob there. What is the atom of cuteness? Well, I think we've already made a good progress today in just what we discussed. This is what I want to do. This is so exciting because I don't see it in ChatGPT. I don't see it in Grok. Grok does some comedy. It's border of the table comedy. It's the funniest AI for sure. But it's just there because you know there's this repeatable recipe for human comedy. And we're still not at the point of, I have, DK Shadow has published, I see the boobs, bro. They're actually pretty nice boobs, DK Shadow. So DK Shadow has characterized the atomic level of porn as a set of just five simple ASCII characters. I can imagine the boobs of DK Shadow bouncing right there. By the way, there's people who are writing to me for meeting new people. I had a guy who's still looking for a wife in Canada. Now I have a girl who contacted me. I'm working on your case. I'm finding a good husband for you according to your requirements, but I'm not announcing this request publicly yet because I think I already found someone of very high quality. So yes, it seems that I've become a matchmaker. I've become a matchmaker. Yeah, those were my thoughts today to share on Trump and cuteness. As far as the consequences of the Trump trial, I mean, I'm almost excited because when you think about it from an accelerationist perspective, everyone is just a little more aware or much more aware that the country's justice system is a fucking joke. Some people are pissed. I would say don't be too pissed. And be very careful, as Nick Fuentes has pointed out, don't Fed post. Because this is not the moment to even suggest violence. And it is not strategically intelligent at this point. We caught the Democrat here, guys. We're winning, okay? Everyone agrees that this will help Trump. There is almost unanimous belief across America that this was the worst idea the Democrats ever had, that Trump could run a campaign from jail and he wouldn't even have to be able to speak. They could shut him down and his son would be out there releasing videos and holy shit, the trailers are exciting. I mean, it's almost like a movie. Like you can't produce an ad like this in normal circumstances. This is like a movie I would probably watch.
Thank you for joining us here today. Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts.
This case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years to try to come up with this case. They're just wrong on the law.
The only crime that Donald Trump is being prosecuted for is the crime of running for president.
Political persecution at the highest level.
They've quite frankly given up on trying to beat him at the polls. Either going to steal it or stop it by law firm.
A Democrat prosecutor elected on a Get Trump platform.
What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party. And it is a war on a republic.
This case is the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of teaching, practicing, and writing about criminal law.
And I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump.
This judge, I mean, you don't need a prosecutor if you have a judge like this. This judge is not on the level.
It's a terrible case, but the judge has been pretty much a rubber stamp on everything that Bragg has wanted to do.
They're perverting the system of justice. You know, that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
This is the Democrats' entire strategy, to confine President Trump to a dirty criminal courtroom and keep him off the campaign trail where he can bring his winning message to voters across this country.
New York has become a legal banana republic. They are so determined to get Donald Trump.
Look, convicting Donald Trump, that's all they have.
I think they have no cards, and they're depending upon Trump getting convicted.
That Trump train doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
The only verdict that matters is the verdict at the ballot box.
Aren't you excited? I mean, there's something in this for everyone. It is exciting. It is like, okay, how much do you want to martyrize him? We don't care. We really don't care. I think people would vote even if there were no vice president. They would rather just have a blank cardboard in the office. If America is going to fall that low, and if Biden is going to be that bad, and if they are going to be so low in terms of morality to try to impede on the process that they claim is, oh, our institution, democracy, oh my God, so important. And yet there they are, disrespecting it, shitting on it. Rodita Sid says, we're going to need another $4 billion for Israel, please. Within all this, unfortunately, this whole event today makes the whole election. There's not going to be an Israel team to the election. There's not going to be an advance on the question of... Are we going to stop being slaves to Israel? Because we have Joe Biden, who's going to be slave to Israel while denunciating them just to keep his far left base. And we're going to have Trump, who's so focused on this criminal persecution story that he won't even have to commit anything. And he won't even have to publicly say, like he did in 2016, that he wanted America first and that foreign aid would be cut and that we would have to stop giving so much to so many nations. We're not going to have this. So it's looking bad for the depth of politics, but it's looking freaking exciting for just how low will the Democrats go and how much will they pay for it. That's the subject of the 2024 election. We're headed toward the conclusion, but Silver Spider had a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I'm training a young man at work who is a pothead, is lazy, and believes we live in a simulation. I told him, since we live in a simulation, he could just jump off the building, and he replied, well, there are rules. Can you ever motivate someone with a mind like this, or do you just fire them? Well, first, I am open to the simulation hypothesis, and I am one person, for example, who has strong morals and strong motivation to do things in life, good things, and yet I believe we could be in a simulation. In fact, but I don't particularly believe this, but I'm open to the idea, and it doesn't change my morals, and here's why. If we are in a simulation, I am an agent in this simulation. As an agent in this simulation, I cause things into the future. Therefore, even in a simulation, you have a causal impact onto the future. You have a role to play. In other words, think about it from a theater perspective. A piece of theater, a play. All of the elements, all of the ingredients are predicted, they are prescripted, they are written before it happens. But you can't just remove an actor from a play and the play goes on normally. You remove the actor, then suddenly that particular sentence disappears from the script. It doesn't cause the other actors to properly react to that sentence. So even in a fully deterministic or simulated universe, even in a play, even in a movie. If you remove an actor, you remove a part of the causes within the system. Therefore, as an actor in a deterministic world or simulated world, you have a role to play. In fact, arguably, your role is even more important. Because if the universe is so deterministic, so programmed, so mechanistic, then each of the things you do will have mechanical consequences in the world. Therefore, you matter even more in a deterministic universe than you do in an indeterminate universe or an unscripted universe. Perhaps you can tell that to the employee, but the fact is, this critique that deterministic universes or scripted universes are demoralizing comes from people who haven't thought it through. They haven't thought it through the way I laid it out. And so it's mostly you that needs to review your view of this. It's not so much your employee. Your employee is in contact with reality, and the fact that he's still going to his job shows that he's not demoralized by it. So it is you that needs to change your view of your employee. That would be my answer to you, Silver Spider. That is it for tonight, boys. I have nothing else to say. It's a sad day for America, but it's an exciting day. On the short term, it's going to lead to more awakening. People are more dismissive of the legal process, and it's just what we need at this point because the legal process has ridiculed itself. On the public space. We'll be right back.